Holy Spirit, descend upon us and bring us up into the light of Christ. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Imagine with me the realm of the dead 2,000 years or so ago. Sheol stretches like a monstrous cavern. A monstrous cavern beneath the chaos waters that Pharaoh's chariots fell prey to. A monstrous cavern beneath the earth itself. Sheol, the realm of the dead. Shades flit about it in sleepy darkness. Pale drab lights illuminate the corners of this quiet realm. Clusters of families and friends gather, spirits sitting, whispering of lives long past. There are the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. There is Elisha. There is Esther and Ruth and the two Tamars. There is Abraham. There is Sarah. And there, Noah, his sons, and many, many spirits perished in those chaos waters of the flood. But there at the very far back of the cavern sit the ancient pair, Adam and Eve. Long have they dwelt in this colorless land. Long have they sat in the low light, waiting. At the front of death's domain are two great gates, doors locked with iron and bronze bars. Beside them sits a fallen angel, the fallen angel. His long, twisting body convulses in angry sobs. His dragon head shudders. He is the cursed one, the dust eater. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Cursed to slither on his belly and to swallow all those who become earth all over again. His snake-like fangs clack, snap. They gnash. Even in his victory, he may have deceived the humans in Eden's garden, but there is no joy for this hollow, self-absorbed creature. A shout rouses the spirits. The dragon looks up. The gates creak open as a new shade passes through. The bars lock behind him into place. The spirit is dressed in camel skin, with a crude leather girdle. Under his arm, he bears his severed head. Though a victim of a cruel death, John the Baptizer still grins. He glances at the pouting devil. He is coming, foul one. He is coming. Adam and Eve stand. They look at one another. He is coming, whispers Eve. He is coming, rejoins Adam. Suddenly, a thunderous sound rattles Sheol's cavern. The gates begin to shake. Boom. The iron and bronze bars groan. Boom. Someone is coming. Boom. The spirits are all standing now. Boom. Cracks are beginning to form on the gates. Boom. The devil's scaly hands claw at the cracks, desperate to keep the splintering wood together. Boom. A final thunderous crash sends the Satan cartwheeling backwards. Kaboom. Sheol's gates lie shattered in pieces. A blazing torch of divine and human light passes through the jagged hole. It is the God-man wrapped in the fire of the Holy Spirit. His hands and feet are torn. His side is an open wound. And yet he smiles. His voice rings with holy laughter as he stares down at the writhing snake. And he sings. He sings to the spirits in this holding place. He sings of God's love come down. He sings of resurrection and of new creation beyond the grave. His song is a sermon of good news and invitation. Adam and Eve stumble forward, half afraid, half hoping. Others follow behind. The God-man smiles and extends his pierced hands to that ancient pair, to the mother and father of all. You are forgiven and made righteous. Come home to the presence of God. He grabs the pair's wrinkled old hands, and one by one, other shades link their hands with this primal pair, and the God-man, Jesus, the Christ, plunders death. He pulls all of them up, all of us up, out of the grave into resurrection life. The Father's life. In the early centuries of the Christian church, up through the Reformation, this is the sort of thing, this is the kind of story that Christians imagine took place on Holy Saturday. Numerous sermons, poems, hymns, and even paintings depict this moment. Christ shattering death's gates, Christ trampling down the power of the devil. And nor were these retellings of Holy Saturday and what it means simply the over-inventive fictions of pious, if primitive, minds. They were poetic, joyful attempts to make sense of Holy Scripture. This evening, at the beginning of our service, I read that really bizarre little passage from Peter's first epistle. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah. Jesus descending to preach to spirits in prison. St. Paul also speaks of Christ descending to the lower parts of the earth, swallowing up death in victory and disarming the principalities and powers through his cross. This is why the early Christians, and this is why we, confess in the words of the Apostles' Creed that strange phrase, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. He descended into hell. He descended into Sheol, the realm of the dead. Hell, not the burning lake of fire like we think, but the realm of the dead. He descended into hell. And that's why we confess those words from the Apostles' Creed. He has brought humanity, human nature, out of the grave into resurrection life, first in his own flesh, and at the final age, in our own flesh. And this is the truth of Holy Saturday. Jesus descends into hell. He shatters death's curse. He breaks the power of the devil, and he does it for his people. He does it for you. He does it for me. Christ conquers death by death. And so on Holy Saturday, we remember that reality as we renew our baptismal vows. We all die with Christ in baptism. The Holy Spirit plunges us with Jesus down through those chaos waters, down through the earth, down below the earth, into the realm of death itself. We all die with Christ in baptism. And there are hell's broken doors. There's the quivering, sniveling devil. And now Jesus takes tight hold of our own Adam and Eve hands. And he lifts us up into the Father's eternal resurrection life. Already we hear Jesus singing, God's love has come down. Already he sings of resurrection and new creation life. Already he sings his sermon, a sermon of good news, an invitation. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Alleluia. Amen.